everyone. I'm Katie. Welcome to Trailhead Church, and thank you for spending part of your weekend with us. In just a few minutes, the band will be out to lead us in worship. Then one of our pastors will share a message. Altogether, we'll be here a little over an hour this morning. If you're new this morning, we are honored that you've chosen to join us, and we'd love to get to know you. The easiest way to get connected is to complete our online Connect card. It only takes a minute, and it's the best way to become part of the Trailhead Church community. Just scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you or visit trailhead.church/connect. If you're with us in person, make sure you stop by our info desk and meet a greeter and receive a gift on your way out today. Just a couple of quick reminders before we get started. If you have chosen to keep your child in service with you today and you'd like to find a more private space to comfort or nurse your child, we have some calming spaces available where you can continue to watch the service. Just ask one of our volunteers to show you the way. If you want to stay up to date on everything happening around Trailhead, you're going to want to download the Trailhead Church app. You'll be able to find message notes for today's sermon, see all of our upcoming events, communicate with your study group, and catch up on messages that you may have missed. You can even sign up to receive specific notifications based on your interest. Just scan the QR code in front of you or search for Trailhead Church in your app store. Thanks again for being with us this weekend. Grab a seat and let's get ready for worship.
Good morning and welcome to Trailhead Church. Today is Baptism Sunday and we are excited. That's right, get excited about what God is doing in the earth today. As you can see, we have a full crew with every generation represented, which I absolutely love for this Sunday morning. And before we get into baptism, we're going to have everyone introduce themselves. And you say, why? Because you're their church family. And here at Trailhead Church, we hook arms together and celebrate one another and what God is doing in our lives. So I'm going to start with myself. My name is Anna Gresham, one of the pastors here at Trailhead, and it is an honor to be with you all this morning. For everyone that's watching online, we're so thankful you could join us as well to celebrate. And I want to read this morning out of 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. Before I read this, I want each of us to just have a moment where we put our eyes on Jesus. Think of your testimony of the Lord, knowing that Jesus saved you, that he healed you, that he restored you. I want you to have a moment where you remember when you got baptized, whenever you testified of the goodness of God in your life. Because here in a minute, each of these individuals are going to have a water baptism that the old is gone and they are a new creation in Christ, that Jesus paid the price, that when they received him as their Lord and Savior, they said yes to the Lord and to every good gift that God has for them. And we're going to celebrate with them this morning the life that they have in Jesus Christ. So in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So what we have up here this morning is a group of overcomers. Hallelujah. So today, as we get into this, we need to celebrate. You're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. We have overcame because Jesus overcame for us. Praise God for the precious blood of Jesus this morning. All right, you guys ready to get to know your church family? All right, at the end of service, if you don't know someone up here, shake their hand. Get to know them. Find their family and say, "Hey, I'm so excited about what God's doing in your life." And hook arms with them today. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to hold the microphone. I'm going to come through. You can say your name. If you want to say just a testimony, you can. If you don't, it's all right. But let's find out who you are.
My name is Jayla, and I wanted to start a relationship with Jesus. And also, I thank my family for helping me find his love.
Praise God. Well, aren't you so thankful that you bring your kids to church? Praise God. Jaylee, you just made me cry getting started. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Noah.
Hi, Noah. Everyone say good morning.
Matthew.
Hi, Matthew. Y'all ready? You excited? High five. Okay. We're doing it.
I'm Kim.
Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Mackenzie.
Hi, Mackenzie. Are you ready? Yes, we're ready. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. My name is Caleb. I'm excited. And yeah.
You ready?
Yes.
That's right. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Madeline Turner.
Well, hello, Madeline. Are you ready to get baptized? Yes. We're excited.
Good morning. My name is Madison.
Hi, Madison. You ready for this? Yes. Yes.
Good morning. My name is Layla.
Hi, Layla. We ready? That's right. It's a great day. Good morning.
I'm Noah.
Hi, Noah. We ready? Yep. Good stuff.
My name is Lynn, and I'm excited to celebrate a victory in Jesus.
My name's Kenneth.
Hi, Kenneth. It's a great day.
My name's Alice.
Hi, Alice.
My name is Zoe.
Hi, Zoe. I'm so glad.
Look at all these teenagers. I don't know why I whispered. My teenagers are always like, "Why are you whispering right now?" I don't know. I'm sorry that I whispered. I'm just so excited for what God's doing in every generation. Praise God. All right, here we go. I'm Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. You ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God's so good.
Hi, I'm Matthew.
Matthew?
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey everyone, my name is Kristen McDaniel. Today is a hard day for me, I will say. A lot of you, or some of you, may have known Dennis Duncan that came here for church. He was my fiance. We lost him in December, 2 weeks before Christmas. So over this last year, I've asked the Lord to give me strength to get through every single day. And it's been hard, but the Lord has gotten me through every day, and I thank him.
Praise God.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Hazel.
Hazel.
Hazel's in our young adult group. It's a plug. Young adults, Sunday nights at 6. Can I plug it during baptism? I think I can. Good morning. We ready? Okay.
My name's Isabella.
Hi, Isabella.
All right, everyone. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into baptism. The worship team's going to worship. We encourage you to worship along with us, and let's just celebrate what God is doing this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. This is the day, Lord, that you have made, and we that you sent your Son so that we can have life and life in abundance. I thank you for every young person on this stage. for the hand of God on their life. I thank you for every husband and wife and mom and sister and brother. I thank you, Lord, that we are each your son and your daughter, servants of the Lord Most High. And God, that today is a testimony of who you are in our lives. So Lord, we just lift up the mighty name of Jesus and we say thank you, Lord, that we are overcomers in Christ. And Lord, we're going to give you our highest praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said amen.
If you'd like to go ahead and stand to your feet while we rejoice in this wonderful decision together. Hallelujah.
Sorrows, there is an ocean. buried beneath my shame. What could carry that kind of weight? Here was my tomb. My face is like a child, too high.
Yeah, we thank you, Lord. Yeah, we thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on, let your praise rise. We celebrate new life this morning. Yeah, all because of the blood of Jesus and his body. Come on. Jesus, lift up his name. Come on, let your praise continue to rise. Yeah, you are worthy. Jesus. Yeah, we respond to your goodness with worship to your heart. Yeah, we respond to your goodness with worship to your heart. Oh, we bless your name.
Holy,
Yeah, just keep your eyes fixated on Jesus. Come on. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. Yeah. Just begin to thank him. Begin to bless his name. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We sing to the King above all kings. Yeah, we sing to the great high priest, the great sacrifice, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Yeah, have my life. Yes, we must decrease, so you must increase, Jesus. So we lift you up. You are high and seated on the throne. Oh, we bless you, King. Oh, we bless you, King. There's no higher name. There's no greater name. There's no sweeter name than Jesus, Jesus. There's no higher name. There's no greater name. There's no sweeter name than Jesus, Jesus. There's no higher name. There's no greater name. There's no sweeter name than Jesus, Jesus. There's no high, come on. There's no greater name. Oh, there's no sweeter name than Jesus. Hey, there's no higher name.
So worthy of all our praise. We're so thankful for all that you're doing. Lord, we honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Greet your neighbor. Give him a high five. You can have a seat. We're going to continue our worship with giving this morning. And this morning, I just wanted to express how thankful we are for those of you that sacrificed to be part of the mission here at Trailhead. You know, whether you're giving for the first time today or whether you're taking that step of faith, you've been coming for a while and you're choosing to make that giving recurring and regular to support what God is doing in and through the Trailhead family. We're so thankful for you. And if you're wondering how to give today, you can follow the prompts behind. That are at the doors. But I thought today it would be fitting to celebrate what your giving is doing here at Trailhead. And what a day to see the impact of your generosity. I mean, this is awesome. You know, I love baptisms because it's one of the greatest reminders that people are still finding the life-changing grace of Jesus. This is still what God is about, and that's what church is all about. Yeah. I told our staff this week that I am so humbled and excited to be part of a church family where it's all about finding Jesus. You know, for 15 years, it's been all about giving people an opportunity to choose Jesus, to find that better way, and that's not going to change. That's what this church is all about. So I love that we get to celebrate that today. And not only did I want to celebrate that, but I also wanted to let you know that last Saturday, our Switchback team had the opportunity to host their first rally night. They hosted 75 students here. It was awesome. And I love the vision that the students and the Switchback team have to welcome in students from all over the community, from churches all over the community, to have fun together, to worship God together, to be in His presence, and to be challenged by His Word. And I think we know that the enemy in the world has a lot of destructive messages for our teenagers, and it's more important than ever that they find community with people who are worshiping God together and seeing that Jesus has a better way for them. So I love that we were able to do that. So I just want to say thank you for giving today. Thank you for using your generosity and faithfulness to invest in the mission and what God is doing here at Trailhead. So I'm going to pray over the offering. We're going to have some video announcements, and then Pastor Josh will be out to continue our Citizens of Heaven series. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you're doing. We're so thankful to be a part of your mission and helping people find a better way. Lord, as we give this morning, we are just giving that into your hands, and we're asking that you multiply it. We know that that is what you do, so we just entrust that to you. And Lord, we thank you that you are taking care of us as we give everything to you, and we lay that before your feet. So thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey everyone, I'm Anna, and here are some of the things coming up around Trailhead Church. Remember to download our app to make sure that you don't miss the rest of the events happening at Trailhead. Finally back, the event every man in North Carolina has been waiting for. The 2023 Trailhead Men's Conference is coming this November 10th through the 12th, and we can guarantee it will be the most exciting weekend this fall. We'll have our infamous chili cook-off, awesome games, and a life-changing service on Friday night. Then we'll keep things going with a day full of activities on Saturday. We'll wrap up the weekend with a football tailgate on Sunday after church. Find out more in the events tab in the Trailhead app. On the first Sunday of every month, we set aside time to come together in prayer as a church to seek God for our families, communities, and our church. If you're passionate about seeing God move in your life and at Trailhead, this is the place to be. Come out tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. 15 years ago, we launched Trailhead Church to help people find a better way. That includes people of all ages, or as we like to say, from the small to the tall. We want the whole family involved in what God's doing, so our anniversary service will be no different. Bring the family to celebrate. We've got kids 9 and under. They're going to be able to enjoy free amusement park rides. We'll be hosting group games for teens and adults on a nearby baseball field. As we celebrate God's faithfulness. Stick around for lunch and fun that really just the whole family can enjoy. Find out more in the events tab in the Trailhead app. If you have questions about anything happening at Trailhead, our friendly Next Steps team would love to help. You can find them right in the middle of the lobby at our info desk, or you can always connect with us online.
Well, good morning, Trailhead. So pumped you guys are all out here with us, celebrating all of these wonderful individuals getting baptized. Man, it is so much fun. And I tell you, it's one of these celebration moments that you'll always remember as an individual. I remember being baptized as a wee little guy. But one of my favorite moments of baptism was years and years ago. I was a college pastor at Marshall University, where I was sitting there at a table at Applebee's at 10 o'clock at night with a bunch of college students. And we talked about baptism. And before you know it, all of these kids around the table were like, how many of you have not been baptized? And like 20-some kids raised their hand. And I was like, let's do this thing. Let's get baptized. And so we had a trip coming up where we were about to hike the Grand Canyon. So I took all of those guys out to the Grand Canyon, and we baptized them in a hot spring. And I've only baptized one person in the Grand Canyon, and it's super cold in the Colorado River. And the entire time, the guy was like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. No. But I tell you, baptism is something to always just relish in your Christian walk. And so I would encourage all of you, if you've never been baptized, sign up for the next baptism. It's going to be here in January, if I'm correct, during a worship night. So we would love for you to sign up, all right? Now, you know, when we talk about Citizens of Heaven, some of you may see that title and you kind of go, what's that really mean? Well, last week I told you guys that meant that, don't be dumb, all right? that was what the title really meant, which was, you should know what the Word of God says about being a citizen of heaven. I think too often people imagine that God's just taking Christians, that it's just a matter of numbers, that God is basically fighting the devil, and it's just who has the most numbers at the end of the fight. And that's not God's intention. God's intention actually is not taking, but making. God wants to make you into a son and a daughter of the Lord Most High. This is a process. It's not something he just goes, oh, you said these words? Well, oh, great. Now I can take you. If that was the case, then I would have held everyone down a little longer in the baptism this morning. But when they come up out of the water, guess what? This is a process of making now. It's a process to realize, hey, I'm in the glory to glory to glory stages where I can lean in on God. I can talk to him. I can be with him. I can learn from what his word says about who I am. And as you begin that process, there's going to be moments where there's pruning involved. There's conviction. Conviction is not bad. Some people think, oh, this is just being a Christian is just a bunch of rules. And therefore, if you get convicted, you just feel bad about doing something. And gosh, then you just have condemnation. But actually, the Word of God says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And that with conviction, actually, it helps you. It strengthens you to be the person that God's called you to be. And that's what it's all about. So being a citizen of heaven is knowing the cultural nuances of being a Christian. Like there's some new things where you go, man, I'm a Christian. I'm a citizen of heaven. What's that mean? What's that look like? And God's making you and molding you into that process. You know, you don't teach culture, even though this morning you'd be like, that seems contradictory because you're up there and you're teaching us something. You don't really teach culture as much as that you just are culture. That this is just something that just is integrated in as you begin to walk in your Christian faith. You do learn, and there is some teaching aspects, but the culture of things is something that happens by just being, rubbing arms with someone. This is where you get the word discipleship, where you recognize, hey, iron sharpens iron. I want to know more about the Word of God. I want to be taught and led. I want to be guided. And so culture is really important. Culture happens in family. You know, I have, my last name is Gresham, so in the Gresham house, we have Gresham culture. We don't do that. Greshams don't do that. I always look at my kids all the time and say, Greshams do this. And they're like, oh, yeah. And it's just, you start recognizing, I'm a Gresham. And so now my boys are a little too cocky with the idea of like, I'm a Gresham. And you're like, oh, Lord, what is going on right now? But there is a culture that takes place of standards and understanding. When you go, man, you know, this, I'm a Christian. This is my standard. And this is what I do. This is who I am. I don't compromise. Yeah, That's really important. Compromise is what gets us into trouble. I love what the author Roger Scruton says. He says, a culture is defined as something separate. This is what he said. An island of we in the ocean of they. An island of we in the ocean of they. You know, we see this actually in the book of Daniel. If you open up the book of Daniel, you're going to get some wild, amazing stories. But as you see in the book, it teaches us that godly convictions actually set you apart from this world. You may, and you probably will, Jesus tells us that you will be persecuted for his name's sake. But in these persecutions, some of you may just get, I don't know, ignored. Others, you may get flipped off. Some others, you might get cursed out. Some of you actually might be exiled, and, you know, if the world continues down this path, as we know in the book of Revelation, you recognize that there will be a true exile, a true decision where you have to say, I'm a Christian, and this is what I stand for, and, well, you could be killed for that. You could be a martyr. Now, in the book of Daniel, it teaches us these godly convictions, and what you see in the story is that they began to change a culture because of their godly convictions. They weren't sitting there as a believer, and I think it's interesting, too often, we believe it's just our job to be critical. Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego weren't sitting there just being critical about where they were. No, they just were who they are as a follower of God in that culture. They weren't sitting there and blaspheming the king. No, they just stood for what they knew was right. They didn't sit there and be like, it's generation. That was funny. Because I've heard it. I've turned 44 this past year, and I thought I'll never be that old guy that says, this next generation, they're going to hell in a handbasket, you know. But there are lots of times that I go, what? My children alone, I look at them and go, what are you saying right now? You know, no cap. No cap. Man, this is Rizzy. And I'm like, what does Rizzy mean? I may have just cursed. All right. But as a believer, it's your responsibility to be a citizen of heaven everywhere you go, in your family, school, workplace, city, state, and in the nation. So in this book, you see a testimony after testimony recognizing the superiority of those who worship the God of Israel. And they weren't sitting there wagging their finger at the culture. Instead, they were just being who they are in the culture. That was massive. That changed a lot of things. So if you notice, they began to acknowledge, the world began to acknowledge the superiority of the God of Israel. And so we see that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So why were the individuals, the Babylonians and the different cultures that Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were fighting against, why were they so upset? And why is this world continually upset about God? Well, it's because there's a narrowness. And the idea of conforming, I don't look at it as conforming, but the world uses the word conforming. I look at the word as I get to be in the presence of the Creator. I am allowing Him. I want Him to mold me, shape me. I want what He has for me. He has the best for me. So I put myself into His hands and say, you have free reign over my life. Now, the world doesn't like that. They don't like this narrowness. They don't like those words. They don't like this conforming idea to it. So what makes kingdom-minded so difficult to live out in this world is that narrow path. Now, what people oppose with that conviction is God, is he really I am the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega? That's the question, and so therefore they want to fight against this idea. I mean, it happens all the time. Anytime you come across individuals and you start talking about God, they just begin to question everything about Him. They can't just conform to know, hey, you know what? I believe this Bible from the front to the back. I met a young lady years and years ago, and I remember saying, oh, yeah, we're a church. You know, we're located in Graham, and it's awesome, and you should come out and visit. And I said, you know, we believe in the Bible from front to back. And she goes, that's not easy. And I go, what do you mean it's not easy? And I said, she goes, well, it's not easy to believe that Bible from the front to the back. And I go, oh, well, one of the reasons why it may not be easy is because you haven't been willing to actually follow it. If you begin to follow what it says to do, then you recognize this is the way. This is the only way. When you apply this in your life, all of God's word in your life, and you do it, then you begin to be set apart from this world and you recognize the benefits of it. In the same way, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I mean, they're sitting there going, hey, yeah, we believe what God has to say about our lives. I mean, for some reason, it's interesting that people want to fight against the idea that Jesus said, in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. In our natural flesh, you want to fight this. No. You know, no, that's not. There's multiple ways. Everybody can get there. You've been watching Oprah way too much, y'all. And you're like, I love Oprah. Don't you talk bad about Oprah. I'm not talking bad about Oprah, but Oprah's wrong. All right? This universalism, the idea that you can just have multiple ways to get to Jesus, Jesus' word says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So that means as Christians, we stand for this. This is who we are. You begin to apply the word of God in the way that he's instructed us, and you see the benefit of it. You can see why you would believe the Bible from the front to the back. It's one of the best things you can do. In 1 Peter 2, 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How would you do that if you didn't turn from the darkness? That's why it's important that you got to say, you know, I'm going to turn from the darkness. I'm going to turn from my wicked ways, and I'm going to seek after his ways, the light. When you do that, you recognize how wonderful this is. You go, man, this is the only way. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 25, they don't have this in the back. I added this morning. But in Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 25, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I mean, just to pinpoint just a few, some of you don't even realize where you're at. Years ago, I was on a hiking trip with some people here in the church, and someone was standing at the fire, and they were doing this. And I was like, what you doing? They go, oh, I'm just releasing things. I said, releasing things to who? And they realized, oh, and they just kind of stopped. The next day, we're hiking, and they picked up a rock, and inside it, they found like a geode. And I was like, oh, cool, a geode. That's awesome. And so I said, can I see it? They handed it to me, and I was like, oh. So I put my finger inside the geode because, you know, I'm a touchy guy. Why not, right? I'm that guy. So I was like, they grabbed it. They go, don't do that. I was like, why? It's because you're going to break it. I was like, I'm not going to break geodes with my fingertip. And they're like, yeah. I sleep with those. I was like, I'm like, yeah, you do. You guys don't realize some of the things you play with, you're entertaining the devil. You may think it's innocent, and you go, oh, this is just what it is. No, I'm going to tell you right now, crystals are weird, people. Yeah. Stop this idea of this mixed theology. That's why when things go sideways, you get all upset, and your first instinct is to fight him. Yeah. I'm going to fight God right now. Like, no. Examine what you're doing. Yes. The compromise you've put in your life. Yeah. The things you're watching. The things you're listening to. You can sit here and be like, oh man, Josh, you're so dogmatic. No. I'm actually just reading the Word of God. And you need to be more aware of the witchcraft that you are toying with. You need to be more aware of these selfish ambitions. I mean, you have thoughts of like, man, if I could just make $1 million. man, if I could just have this car. Oh, man. You find that those are the answers to your problems. You have anger. You have fits of rage. You actually are holding grudges against your loved ones, your spouse, Man, I did a funeral years ago in my family, and my family is all tore apart. And it was so sad. Well, they can't eat with this person. You can't, if there's a birthday party, they ask, is this person showing up or is that person showing up? So I had them captivated. It was the funeral. They all had to show up. So immediately I started talking to everyone. I was like, you can't walk in unforgiveness. You can't act like this with one another. This is where we've got to forgive. If we call ourselves Christians in this room, we've got to forgive. Stop holding offense over someone's head when they don't even know what they've done. Go talk to that person. Be direct, open, honest, and say, hey, close the gap of the problems. Guys, we don't have time to waste. Why bite each other? Why devour ourselves? You are just entertaining Satan. Some of you in this room, you go, but you don't know. I've heard it. You have a bite, man. It's mean. You don't even see it. Oh, you don't know what they did to me. Oh, listen, I'm sure it was horrible, horrific, on a scale that no one wants to really hear the details of. I guarantee you that. But you holding a grudge against someone's not hurting them. It's hurting you. It's for you to be set free. So it's time to be set free from these things. Your flesh is waging war against the things of the Spirit. And the Spirit wants to set you free. Impurities. Some of you don't realize. Let me go back to witchcraft. Witchcraft is more important to me because obviously we're in the Halloween season, so there's like all sorts of things that you're like, oh, it's okay. You don't know. I had a moment years and years ago. Someone said, oh, can you come to my house and pray for my child? And I go, what's going on? They said, they can't sleep at night. I go, oh, okay. So I go to their house, and I say, hey. I said, how's things going? You know, I was talking to the child, how are things going? And they were just like, I'm just scared to sleep at night. I go, all right. And while I'm sitting there talking to them in the living room, I look over, and I see their DVD case. And I go, oh, my Lord. And I lean back, and I go, does this child watch some of these movies? Yeah, sometimes, but we really like horror. And I was like, Freddy Krueger and Jason? Like, and you're wondering why your kid can't sleep at night? I'm 44 and I can't sleep at night watching that garbage. Not even close. You're like, oh, but it's so cool. I like that scare. Listen, come to my house. My wife loves to scare people. She's right behind little nooks and crannies like this, and she's waiting. She'll go, ha! Just come hang out at my house. Her and my sons, they have this. It's the worst. They're all hiding around corners like this. Ha! Ha! Wham! So I'm leaning in. I go, are you watching this stuff? Yeah. And I go, let's go to your bedroom. Go to the bedroom, and guess what I see in the bedroom? Above the bed. A dream catcher. Now, some of you are sitting here going, I love dream catchers. I got one on my rearview mirror. Remember last week when I said, hey, you know what the title of this message series is, Citizen of Heaven? Don't be dumb. I'm being nice by calling a citizen of heaven. I'm being real by saying, don't be dumb. Now, you don't like that because you're like, Josh, that's really harsh in me. No, I'm being really honest. I'm trying to save your soul because this is very heavy. When you have these are serious things. You are entertaining the idea that the dream catcher is actually catching dreams. That doesn't happen. It's not real. Jesus don't work by dream catchers. All right, and some of you go, but that's my heritage. Gresham, I should be wearing a kilt then? You guys want me to start wearing a kilt every Sunday because that's my heritage? No, you don't want me to wear a kilt. Some of you are like, yeah, yeah, yes, yes. Yes, we want you to wear a kilt. No, no. Do you think? You think that that's like the idea of like, that's my heritage. Do you see me doing Scottish rituals and weird things like that? No, no. Because that's not a believer. Like what the Word of God says. I think kilts are cool, don't get me wrong. I may have one. But I'm not going to practice all these Scottish weird things. I'm not going to start going down that path and be like, it's my heritage. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm a son of the Lord Most High. You are a son and a daughter. So this is time to be in the culture and grafted in the family of God and saying, hey, what does God say on how I should be, do, walk, say? What does God's word say about all of this? Witchcraft, guys, is real. It's real. And you have to be so careful mixing beliefs. I got in trouble years and years ago for saying this in church. I had people leave the church. They were so upset. And I'm going to say it again. Because it's not that I don't care, but I care. I'm always blown away by the Christians that will have the bumper stickers on their cars that say coexist. And they think that that's just like this peaceful thought. Like it has all the different religion signs and that make the coexist. And the cross is at the end with the T. How convenient. The end. Yeah. The very end, that's what you're going to encounter. And it's sad because you have these people that have this philosophy of like, we should just coexist. I'm going to tell you, you don't know what the Word of God says. You have no idea. You can't coexist with these other religions as a Christian. It doesn't happen. Satan doesn't want you alive. If you are a threat to his dominion, then you, my friend, have a bullseye on your back. There is no coexist. This whole idea of like, oh, but Jesus was a hippie. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Jesus was direct, open, and honest. Yes, that's right. He said, I'm going to read it again, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's pretty simple. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's interesting. I hear people say all the time, these merging of beliefs, the idea that you can do what you want and still inherit the kingdom of God. It says it right here. It's not going to happen. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Years ago, I was at the gym playing basketball with a bunch of guys, and so I was the very end of it all, I was taking off my shoes, and this guy hits me, and he's looking through the glass window, and he says, hey, there's a new trainer out there. And I was like, yep. And I go, man, she's hot. He hits me and he goes, "Do you know who that is?" And I go, "Nope, I don't have friends like that." He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "I don't have friends like that. I don't know her." He just kind of looked at me all weird. And I go, "Oh, no, I don't think." But I didn't have friends like that. I don't have friends. I saw that spirit that was on that individual. You know it. Because, I mean, this isn't a very modest trainer. And here, this guy was like, and he has a wife. Who's that? Don't know. Don't have friends like that. I carry on my business because I don't allow my mind. You've got to set yourself apart from this world. You can't be a part of that world. This is where mistakes come in. This is where problems arise. This is where sin overtakes you and it breaks you apart. It destroys you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Yes. My wife and I, we were dating. We got engaged. I would see my other friends that were girls. And I would say, "Hey!" And I had a habit. I might have been a playa. So I would see these girls and I'd say, "Hey, babe, what's up?" We got in the car and Anna looks at me and goes, "I'm your babe." And I didn't understand. Immediately, I wanted to be defensive because the flesh is that narrow path. You know, we get defensive. "What are you talking about? It's innocent. I don't like her." She's like, "I don't care. You're not, if you're going to be with me, I'm your babe. These aren't your babes." But I wanted to fight. "No, no, but you don't know. I'm innocent. What are you talking about?" I was fighting this. And then it was that moment that I go, "I'm an idiot, shut up." Right? Why am I fighting this right now? She's everything that I want in my wife. I just proposed to her. She's my future. And my daughter, obviously. She's my second babe. It's weird.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that weird to have a wife, but then you just start looking at all the other women? All you women in this room, it's weird to have a husband, but then you're just constantly looking? So weirded out when I meet a Christian woman who goes, Like you mention a celebrity's name and they're like, You're weird. Like, you know what I want? I want to hear Kelly. I'm going to say, "Hey, Kelly, Chris is awesome." I want her to go, Chris is amazing, right? Like, that's awesome. Jackie, Derek's awesome. Yeah. He's my man, right? Mickey, Mandy's awesome. She's amazing, right? Like, that level, you guys are like Chris Hemsworth. You're like, But you don't do that for your man? That's backwards. This is the person you're with. I've met a lot of celebrities. I've met a lot. And I'm going to tell you right now, every time I meet him, highly disappointed. On the level of like max 100, the worst people. I'm just like, wow. What made Daniel, Shadrach, compromise. Well, they didn't sit back and just criticize. You guys shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. No, they just did what they were supposed to do. They were who they were. They weren't trying to criticize or teach culture. They just were culture. And they allowed God to answer himself. When that world, that kingdom, wanted to fight against God, God took care of it. God stepped in and said, don't worry, Meshach, Shadrach, we're going to go. You don't have to fight for me. I can defend myself. Yes. So what happened was, they committed their ways to God. They lived it out in front of the opposition, and they did it without compromise. And we see it all in Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. That's no compromise. How too often are we asked just to say, would you go with me? Would you hang out with me? And you find yourself in a compromising situation that you just would have said, you know what? I don't want to be there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Not happening. A friend of mine, he was the right-hand man to a very well-known evangelist, and he's a good-looking dude. And girls all the time were like, can I have your number? Have your number? So on an airplane, yes, but you're really handsome. And so they started talking, and before you know it, I'm a Christian. And he's like, oh, that's fantastic. It's great. What church do you go to? And they exchanged numbers, and he was like, all right, you know. And so they started talking via text and some phone calls here and there. And so a week goes by, and all of a sudden she sent him a photo. And immediately he goes, N-O-P-E. That was it. Just sent it back. Nope. And blocked her number. That was it. No compromise. No compromise. Some of us aren't willing to just say no. It is not worth it to the detriment of your soul. It is not worth it. You need to say no. Mm-mm. I am not going to fall victim to desires of the flesh. I'm going to put up standards. I'm going to say no. I'm not a part of this. You know, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We are supposed to set our thoughts, our eyes, everything on him. And when you do this, you win. You win. Some of you have to make some hard decisions today because you know you're in compromise right now. Some of you have to realize, you know what, it's time to burn some things. Let's have a bonfire tonight. Let's burn some of these things. Some of you may have a hard time with that. You're like, man, you don't know my DVD collection. No, but I know how more important and more valuable your soul is. Some of you don't realize that if you would just put a hard stop. Some of you don't realize that 90% of your problems could be solved with the Bible. a community of believers, and serving one another. 90% of your problems could be solved with a Bible, with serving one another, and a community of believers. The enemy wants to take you from those things. Do you guys know? I know that Trailhead Church isn't perfect. I know it's not. I'd love to tell you that everything we do is just perfect. And it's not. Not even close. I know that I'm not some wonderful pastor that's got it all put together. And there's times where we flub up and we say things and we're like, oh gosh, I wish that it was just the perfect everything. But it's not. We're humans, and it's okay. I know that you came into church this morning, and maybe it's your very first time, and the enemy is fighting you right now. Man, your thoughts are just racing your head. Oh, this is just one of those other churches. They do this. They don't do that. Man, this, and there, that, and this, and all these things, and you're just making up a crazy game in your head. The enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy's trying to keep you from church. And I've been at the grocery store, and I'm minding my own business, getting my oatmeal. And I look down the aisle, like, and I see a family that used to go to the church, and they'll go, why do they do that? Because they think I'm going to be like, where you been? They're like, or sometimes they don't realize that I walked up on them by accident. Oh, hey, how are you guys? Well, we haven't been to church in a while because we've got all these things going on. I'm really sorry. I go, okay. We're not issuing out tattoos at the church of like, hey, once you got this tattoo, that means you're stuck. You need to be here. It's not the case. But the benefit of being a part of a community. Gone, because you have a group of people that are praying with you, for you. It says, when two or more gather in my name, there I will be. I don't know about you, but I want to be gathered. Tonight we have prayer. What time? For what time? 6 to 7. We got prayer. Man, you guys should come out for prayer tonight. It's going to be awesome. We got young adults tonight upstairs from 6 to 7. How convenient. We have worship up there. Man, if you're 18 to 30, come up. Hang out with us. We've got all sorts of fun things that we're doing here at the church where you can bond with one another. You can help one another, lock arms with one another, be accountable to one another. Enemy's going to fight you. Oh, it's that, this church. That. Blah, 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 blah. There's no perfect church out there. For years, everyone was always like, man, I don't think I can go to Trailhead Church. And I was like, why then? Pastor Josh is too young. And I was like, so I would wish my age away. I'd be like, man, if I could just be older. I remember if I could just be, maybe when I turned 40. Now I'm like, what the garbage was I thinking? That was the dumbest thing ever. Now I'm 44, and I'm like, wish I was 30 again. I was wishing my age away for you. It's dumb. This idea of like, oh, if this, and if he would wear a suit, I could respect him more. Sure. How about it's not by a suit, but it's just by honor and respect in general? Yeah. If you would know the honor placed on those in authority, yeah. That's the other 10% of your problem. You can't go into your workplace without having contempt against your boss. If you would just take a deep breath and be like, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and talk negative about my boss. Instead, I'm going to honor and respect them. Let me read. This is really fun. Here we go. Verse 16. Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar. They still respected and honored the position, King Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't go, yo, dude, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They're always in respect. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty. You have to understand the authority, honor, and respect and what it does. We treat everybody with this contempt. Yo, man, what's up? I've heard people pray. I'm always nervous. You hear people pray and they go, yo, God. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Like, that's scary stuff. What in the world? You treat elders in contempt? You're putting yourself first? We need to be more aware of what we're doing. Leave this church with this idea of this is just an entertainment moment. Church is bigger than that. Church is a community where we say we're in this together and we're going to pray and we're going to believe for our city to be transformed. We're going to pray and we're going to see the heavens pour out for people to be healed and whole. That we're here for one another. I know I might be stepping out of bounds, but I'm gonna say it. Did you guys know Nick? Nick at the church, Nick Boyd, he just lost his father 2 days ago. He's an usher here at the church. And so now he's in Nebraska. You know, he reached out to the ones that he's close to. And for some of you, if you have his number, tell him you love him. Come and surround him right now. It's not easy losing a parent. We're here for one another. We had a wedding yesterday. A young couple in our young adult group, Rebecca and Nathan, they got married yesterday. Man, it was so awesome seeing them get married. I met with them. They had been together since high school, even before high school. 6, 7 years, something like that, they've been together. And they're like, hey, we don't want to compromise. And I said, all right, do you guys love each other? Yeah, we want to get married. Like, let's just do it. Let's get married. And I loved watching the union of them two come together. It was so sweet and innocent and so beautiful. And that's what we're doing at this church. Look, we're surrounding people and we're a community. I love Nathan and Rebecca. They came to our church like a year plus ago. And the young adult group was their bridal party. Like, it was so cool to see all of that. That's community. Some of you, the enemy's trying to steal, kill, destroy, alienate you, and make you feel like you're all in some lonely island. Well, guess what? You are. Better surround yourself with the right people on this lonely island. I mean, this is what it's about. So stop running from church. Stop making excuses. Stop allowing the enemy to have a playground in your head and saying, no, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm a child of God. I'm going to follow his decrees. I'm going to do what he's called me to do, and I'm going to stand for that. I'm going to think on those things that are his. I'm not going to think bad about people. Oh, man, I think Harkins over there keeps looking at me weird. He must not like what I'm saying. And actually, he could just ate something really bad this morning. And if I just go to him and be like, Harkins, you okay? Yeah, man, my stomach's not. Oh, okay. You were giving me that weird look this whole time I was talking. We need to confront these things. Talk to people. What's going on in your heads? How's your life doing? Be open, honest. I'm not doing good. Why? What's going on? Well, stop trying to bury it, hide it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, I got to dismiss. Dave, you got announcements. If you need Jesus and you want to make him Lord and personal Savior, that room, my left, your right, that room over there is the prayer room. Please go back to that prayer room. Find a prayer worker. They've got Bibles. They got everything back there. Make it happen, guys. We love you. Here's Pastor Dave with a bunch of announcements. Hey, don't forget, next week's our celebration. We have been together for so many years, and I'm so thankful. 15 years. Next week, come out and celebrate with us. Bring a lawn chair, bring blankets, bring out the whole family. It's going to be a great celebration. Go past
yes. it. That was my first announcement. Next week, we will not be here. So if you come here, there will be no one here. So next week, Sunday, 10:30 a.m., Burlington City Park. So show up, be there. We still have that link. If you scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you, or you go to the app, you can share your Trailhead story. We would still love to hear those stories to celebrate. We want to honor what God has done through these 15 years, so we encourage you to make those stories known. And the last thing I want to talk about with you is October is Pastor Appreciation Month, so we want to honor our pastors, especially this year, 15 years. That's a big deal. These are our founding pastors. So some of you haven't been here. Most of you haven't been here this whole time. So I want you to know these pastors have been here for the entire time. And there have been hills, valleys, all kinds of things. But throughout it all, they have been faithful. They have lived what they preached the whole time. I've been here since the beginning, and I can tell you they have been living what they preached this whole time. And God has honored that. And so we want to celebrate that. We want to honor them, to do something extra special for them. So throughout this month, I encourage you to be praying about how you can be participating in that. We are going to be available to receive pastor appreciation gifts. So you can, if you want to do that when you give electronically, just select the pastor appreciation fund or write that on your check or the offering envelope. But Sunday, October 29th will be when we bring them up, we present that to them, and we honor them in that way. So I encourage you to be praying about that. With that said, we love you guys. We will see you next Sunday at Burlington City Park, 10:30.